Praise the Lord. It has been such a wonderful camp so far. As Brother Aldridge used to say, it is yet early in the camp. As my son was telling me this, how Brother Aldridge was saying, you know, I really feel if we have really received so much of blessings, yet early in the camp, we're looking forward for more. Amen? Praise God. Glory to God. It's so good to be here. I bring my greetings from my wife and my son. He said, give my greetings to everybody. So, just wanted to say that. Now, let's turn to the scriptures. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Verse 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Or it could be also read, forgive, or it could be also meant, forgive our sins as we are also forgiven our sins. I'm so happy today, this morning, as the prophecy went through, it ministered on the themes of love and forgiveness. It was a real confirmation to what I was going to minister. Now, love and forgiveness are like the two sides of the same paper. You cannot forgive a person unless you have God's love. Not just husband's love or wife's love or the sibling's love, but this is God's love. So we're going to talk about and understand and being ministered this morning about forgiveness in our life. As we have been hearing from the very beginning of the camp, we were talking about the sonship. The natures of sonship. And I'm sure forgiveness is one of the natures of sonship. If you do not exercise forgiveness in your life, you cannot really mature into sonship. Amen? Amen? I'd like to hear some amens in between so that we can go along. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus taught this prayer, it was quite a, I don't want to put a revolutionary prayer, but it was a different prayer that people were used to. You know, Jewish people had their own prayer with a lot of liturgy and so on. John the Baptist, although we don't have it in the Bible, had a different kind of prayer. So disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. Amen? So this is what we have. Now we wonder why Jesus taught such a small prayer. But I tell you, this prayer has volumes. volumes of hidden truth of God. And we are touching on one of that. Jesus taught his disciples to forgive. You know, among his disciples, there were a few. You know, Andy wrote an article about the disciples of Jesus Christ. And there was a man called Simon the Zealot who had tremendous anger for the imperial rule in Israel. He had carried a little dagger in his waist or wherever, in a belt somewhere. If an opportunity comes, he would grab him by the hand and he would not hesitate to stab him. Because that was his anger on the imperial rule in Israel. Now, I don't know whether Jesus was aiming at him or in general, but I would think it is for us, to all of us who are the members of the body of Christ, to practice this divine nature of forgiving one another. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I looked up in the dictionary. The word forgive as a verb has several meanings. We can apply any one of them here. Stop feeling angry. Remember the word stop. Don't forget that word. Stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense or mistake. That is meaning forgive. Another meaning, to give up all claim on account of. For example, forgive the loan. That's one example. Now, here, forgive all that he has done to you. Remit a debt or obligation. To grant pardon to a person. Another meaning is absolve. I thought that word was very meaningful. By forgiving, you are absolving yourself from that feeling of guilt or some animosity that you harbored for a person. You're not only forgiving a person, but you're absolving yourself from that condition. That is what is forgiveness, people of God. We don't have to go to a school that teaches forgiveness. They will just teach you something. But forgiveness is divine. It has to come from God. Hallelujah. You know, when Brother Hannigan was ministering yesterday morning, he talked about Saul calling out to David. When David was speaking to Abishai or one of his generals, Saul overheard it. And you know, his grudge or his hatred for David was kind of absolved, and he calls him, "My son, is this David's voice?" You know? Praise God. You know, David really, Saul decided it is no use of chasing after David. It is better to realize who David is. That really touched me, you know. Is it my son David's voice? It is a spirit of forgiveness that is coming from Saul. This is the man who threw spears at him at the dining table. This is the man who had so much of jealousy on David, even though he saved Israel from the Philistines. But I want to tell you, a point came. Saul had to feel sorry for himself. And he calls out to him, "Is it my son David's voice?" Isn't it something? Oh, praise God. You know, today, we hear these three words. I don't know how many times you can hear in a day. That is, sorry, thank you, you're welcome. We count it, you can get so many times people speak about it and say about it. It's a good thing to say about it, but I really don't know how many really feel sorry when they say sorry. Amen. It became a usage. Well, we're not talking about that kind of a usage, people of God. We are talking about real divine gift operating in the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. When Jesus said, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." You know, I looked up the root word for sin. There are many of them, but I'm not going to go in details. But what is appropriate here, the root word for in the Greek, it is called ophelema. Ophelema, which is the word, the spelling is, maybe I'm wrong too, but O-P-H-E-I-L-E-M-A, which means a failure to pay that which is due. That is what exactly it means. A failure, which is, that is due to pay, which is due. Now, failure to pay what is due is a debt, right? That's exactly what Jesus was speaking here. The literal meaning of forgive our debtors is this: forgive us our sins in proportion as we forgive those who have sinned against us. The key word is in proportion. Praise God. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. This is a very important scripture. If we forgive, God will forgive us. It is not what I am saying. This is Matthew's gospel. If we forgive, God will forgive us. Praise God. Just imagine the power of forgiveness. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the earth, if we forgive one another, from heaven, God will forgive you. Amen? Glory to God. If we refuse to forgive others, or if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is a condition. Amen? So I just wanted to reflect on forgiveness in your life. I think we all have. It is also for young people sitting here. Doesn't matter how young you are, you have to begin to learn how to forgive. Oh, praise God. As I said earlier, forgiveness makes you free from some sort of a guilt. That's very important. Now, whether the other person has forgiven you, you don't have to worry about that. But you forgive the person. Jesus on the cross, he knew they were doing it wrong. Absolutely, he knew it. But what did Jesus say? Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. I'm going to come to that point as we go on, understanding this. The process of forgiving. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. It is therefore quite clear that if we pray this petition, which we just read, with an unhealed breach, an unsettled quarrel in our lives, we are asking God not to forgive us. I hope everybody followed that, right? If we pray this prayer without a reconciliation, without settling, without talking it over, we're really asking God, do not pay attention to this prayer. It's a paradox. Yes. Praise God. Otto Stevenson, a great writer, who was a Christian, who was having his family devotion. And all of a sudden, he got up and he went to the other room. He couldn't pray with his family. There was some heaviness in his heart. Perhaps something that he has not forgiven. And his wife recognized that. And she knew what was happening. And then he came back after a while, acknowledging what he had done. People of God, this is sonship. Humbling ourselves before the throne of God. No matter what you are, who you are, how great you are, I tell you, people of God, we have to come to the throne of God and humble before God. That is, hallelujah, learning the nature of forgiveness. Praise God. You know, many times I am guilty of that. We pray, but still many things are inside. It is not really cleared out. We think we can postpone it for a day or two. But then, you know, 2 days passed, it is still there. It becomes a norm. Oh, how much I wish to clear my business every day before I go to God. I'm so weak. My pride, my arrogance doesn't allow me to come down to that level. I have to humble myself. People of God, we need to really humble before God. Let our prayers be sincere. Let it come from the bottom of our heart. You know, we cannot make ourselves righteous. But I want to tell you something. Be faithful to what you are, what you know, what the teachings are. Hallelujah. God is not going to ask you to overdo the gift that He has given to you. Many times we fail. We try to overdo, try to impress. But God never asks us to do that, but do what is given to you. Who was telling something the other day? I think it was David Love was mentioning about it. In the business, do not try something you don't know. But it is against the material world. Today's world is very competitive. Try to explore new things and all kinds of things. That's okay. But we are talking about spiritual things, people of God. Let us be faithful to what is given to us. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Nothing fancy you don't have to do. Be simple and sincere in what you are doing for the Lord. And God will bless that ministry wherever you are. You know, I visited a couple of churches with Andy. You know, small churches. But I want to tell you something. And with Burr Smith, how can I forget Burr Smith? And you know, those churches, small in size, but I want to tell you, as you begin to worship, you feel like hundreds of people sitting there. Isn't it, Debbie? Oh, the Texas, Denton, Texas event, I tell you, a small little church, but I want to tell you, that room was small, but we felt the room was full with people. I believe angelic hosts were present in that meeting. Oh, glory to God. God has called us to be overcomers. God has called us those sons of God as the first fruits. But I want to tell you this morning, let us just do what God has asked us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. There is the blessing, people of God. Oh, hallelujah! No one is fit to pray this Lord's Prayer. It's a very serious thing. So long as the unforgiving spirit dominates you. You cannot pray this. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. As long as the spirit of unforgiveness is dominating you, you cannot pray. You may do a lip service. It's not from your heart. Correct? Young people, listen to me. This is very important for you. Two. Oh, hallelujah. If a man has not put things right with his fellow men, he cannot put right things with God. If you cannot love the man you see every day, You cannot love God who is unseen. Oh, praise God. This is the divine truth, people of God. We, as His members of the body of Christ, carry this great attitude, great attribute, if I may say, which is from Jesus Christ, who forgave everyone. We also have to forgive everyone. Now I'm going to explain three. There are many, but I just want to confine to three features of the process of forgiving. Now, mind you, I am not standing here as a right advocate or a right person of forgiving everybody, but I just, along with you, I may be blessed. I may develop this attitude within me about forgiving. You know, I was talking to somebody, I don't know, years ago, perhaps. He told me something I couldn't even believe. That individual has not spoken to his sibling for years because something has taken place some years ago. Oh, it is a poison. It is toxic in your body, trying to build up and build up until it kills you. So, how can you deal with it? So, it's not easy. I myself have fallen short of forgiving. First, begin to understand the person. Hallelujah. Enemy is so crafty, he will not give us the time to wait. You are so quick to speak. You're so bright to give the ideas at the time. Someone said, again, I'm telling you, I'm not an expert in managing this, but I just want to, along with you, trying to understand and apply to myself. When someone tries to anger you or try to provoke you with something, the best weapon that you can use, not to say anything. Not to say anything. That is very hard. How can you be there saying nothing? But you know why? That wait time. The wait time between what you heard and what you're going to say will give you a lot of wisdom how to handle the situation. Are you with me, people of God? Amen? How does a quarrel start? An argument start? Somebody will start something, and you start counter-argue, and that becomes a quarrel, it becomes a fight, or whatnot. Begin to understand the person who is living with you. your wife, your husband, your children, your siblings. Yes, take time. Why does this person is so abrupt? You know? Or why this person is so quiet? I talk so much, but this person says nothing. You know? Maybe he's a boring person. Well, I tell you what, it is better to be a boring person than an aggressive person and causing trouble at home. Yes. People of God, our fight is not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the kingdoms of the dark forces in the heavenly places. Amen? We do not know how this will creep in. All of a sudden, everything is nice. Your wife is smiling, your children are smiling, everything is nice. But something triggered, something was said, everything was down. Like a house of cards. Isn't it right, people of God? Oh, but we are not defeated because of that. This is why God has given the gift of understanding. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of knowledge. Oh, praise God. May God give us that gift to understand one another. I may be a minority here. Sometimes we are married for 31 years now, and sometimes I don't know what my wife is thinking. This is a secret here. And she tells the same thing to me. It'll be, you know, that's a strange mixture at the time, isn't it? Not all the time. I mean, once in a while this happens. This is the trick of the enemy, trying to bring a little bit of spice there, you know, and trying to trigger. And you should be careful at that time. That enemy is alive. The word of God says, he is like the roaring lion. The word roaring lion try to devour people. Which people? God's people. But there is a word. He is like a roaring lion. He is not the lion, because we have the Lion of Judah, who has made us more than conquerors. Amen. You know, the bad thing is we don't remember the scriptures at that time. You are so emotional. You want to combat the enemy right away. People of God, I pray that the grace of God will rest upon our families to keep our families united and loving each other. Amen. Today, enemy is trying his best to distract, to disrupt, to destroy the family of God. It begins with distraction. Distraction amounts to disruption. Okay? And disruption culminates in destruction. You know, I just simply enjoy to be with the people of God. Praise God. Hallelujah! May the fellowship of God's children may bring forth more and more blessings. Okay, I haven't even started. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We must learn to understand there is always a reason why a person does something. Maybe enemy is trying to kind of incarnate in that person, trying to do something, okay? If he's boorish and impolite and cross-tempered, maybe he's worried or in pain. This is a study. This is not something just made out. This is based on some research. When someone always goes back to the past, when everything is nice, beautiful, she or he goes back to the past that happened 30 years ago. That is the problem. Because of the pain that individual suffered in his or her life. Okay? And we should be able to detect that, understand that, if he treats us with suspicion and dislike, maybe he has misunderstood or misinformed. You know, most of the doubts, suspicion, are not true. If the person is tackled face to face and talked about it, the doubt is gone. Suspicion is gone. Because the person has inadequate information, he's misinformed. That's why the person always doubts. You know, doubt can build in your life. Doubt can build an ugly person in you. Are you with me, people of God? It began with one little thing. Okay? One doubt. Another doubt, another doubt. It just builded, and without understanding or unintentionally, he said something which kind of corroborated the doubt. All right? And you can see the result of that. That is just humongous. We have to be watchful, people of God. That's why we are called to be that matured children of God. Praise God. Maybe this person who is doubting is the victim of his own environment or his own heredity. Forgiveness could be very helpful if we are able to understand this person. Do not look at the face of the person, because that will irritate you. I'm speaking in plain language here. Because with the emotion, with the speech and everything, it really makes it ugly. Don't look at the person's face, but begin to understand the person. This is high quality maturity we are talking about. I don't know how much you're able to practice this, but at least let us try and understand people of God. Amen? And I've been teaching in New York City school system. And I want to tell you something. When these kids fight at each other, the way they talk and the face and the actions, nobody wants to look at them at that time. That is the ugliest scene that one can witness at that time. Just imagine you and I are doing that way. That is worse. Begin to understand. May God give us the spirit of understanding one another. To understand, we should be able to forgive. Secondly, this is the most important thing. Forgive me if I always say most important, necessary, because that is comes by my trade, which I used to do. And it is important, I'm telling you, this really important in our life to remember these things. We should begin to, or we should learn to forget. Understanding is somehow I can do it, you know? I can understand to some, not fully, but to some extent I can understand, I can forgive. Okay, this person is that, let me give some slack. So I can do that. But now the next step is a little harder. It says, you have to forget. What should we forget? Forget what the person has accused you of. The person what has told you. It is like an eraser taking a chalkboard and erasing the whole notes. That's exactly what forgetting means. Oh, this flesh will never let us to forget everything. You know, I can forget something, but not everything. That word you said, I can never forget. Are you with me, people of God? You're a nice person, everything, but you know what? Years ago, that what you said to me, I can never forget. Hallelujah. You are called to sonship. You are called to be that first fruit without any blemish, without any spot. You are the bride of Christ, the glorious church. Oh, praise God. Without any blemish, without a wrinkle, without any spot. I know it is hard. You may tell me, you may think, Brother Matthew, it's so easy for you to look at the notes and say these things to us. I know that is the truth. But at least I'm trying to make you think along with me. people of God. Let us try to forget. Can we? You know, some people can recall the events like a film roll just passing in front of them, one after the other. You know, if you don't, you'll forgive me if I say my personal, you know, way. Sometimes I speak out and I forget everything what I said. But not everybody. They will pick on that. You don't even remember what you said. Right, Cephas? Hallelujah. But people of God, we have come to the level that we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. And we should be willing to forget, not just forgive. Somewhere we read, all those unrighteousness are put in the sea of oblivion. If God can do it for us, how much more we should do it one another. Hallelujah. Let us just pray, Lord, help me to forget. You know, the irony is, you never remember the good things. You always remember the bad things. Right? An example, husband and wife get to argue. And, you know, the best thing to kind of say to one another, can't we just think what God has done something good all along? Why do you want to focus on the bad things? Has He not done the good things in your life? Yes, there has been some downfalls, ups and downs, but do not look down. God has called us to look up. It's an onward journey, upward journey, not a journey to look back and look at the attractions. That's what happened to Israelites when they left Egypt, when they crossed the Red Sea. They were craving for Egypt. Even though God was leading them in the desert by His power and His glory, they were craving for the food of Egypt. Can you believe hundreds of miles away they could smell the fish and the flesh of Egypt? Why? They could not forget Egypt. You are called to forget Egypt and walk onward, upward journey into the promised land. Not to remember the Egypt. People, we should learn to forget maybe most things that tries to hurt us. Enemy will remind you, I tell you, he'll keep on reminding you. The more you forget, the more reminds you. You have to bind it in the name of Jesus. Yes, absolutely. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus and say, get thee behind you, Satan. Yes, it is nothing but a fight that is going on, not physical, but in the spiritual realm. Mind you, You are not in the physical realm. Although you are, but you are more in the spiritual realm. Okay? Praise God. You are not to go back. You are to move on. You are to move on, people of God. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. I can understand the struggles of Moses and Aaron. You know, they are at the head, trying to lead the people, but there are a few people dragging them behind. They even say, let's go to Egypt. That is better for us. We have graves there. You know? We have good food to eat. We have spices, cucumbers, and all kinds of things. What do we have in this desert? Nothing. Right? Praise God. God said, I'm going to feed my people. I called them. Glory to God. One fine morning, they saw all around them heavenly manna. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm not going to go into that now. People of God. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Whatever grievances, it is obviously clear. There is no listing. You don't have to forgive this and that. We make the listing, right? I can forgive that, but not this. Because I'm deeply hurt. Who sees my hurt? But God sees your hurt. As I said earlier, you're absolving yourself from your deep hurt by forgiving the person. Amen? Glory to God. Okay. We should learn to forget. Oh, praise God. There's so many scriptures here, but I'm not going to go into the details. So long as we brood upon a slight or an injury, there is no hope that we will forgive. This again in your mind. Mind plays a great role. You know? I have to read the scripture for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Think. The weapons we fight was for. Okay, let's read verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Okay? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Pay attention to the word. They have divine power. Oh, hallelujah. To demolish strongholds of the enemy, we demolish arguments. Are you with me? We demolish arguments. Every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. If you're not forgiving, if you're arguing, if you're quarreling, if you're fighting, you're against the knowledge of God. Mind you that. That is not the plan of God in your life. So, what should you do? We make captive every thought. I so liberal mind. We make captive, or we will make it, put that in a prison. Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Praise God. When you think about the obedience to Christ, people of God, we have to forget whatever someone has done to you. I want to tell you, add this to you, with you on this. Forgiveness is the beginning of the healing of your soul. The more you harbor that unforgiving spirit, your soul is sick, your body is sick, your mind is sick. Hallelujah! Forgiveness releases the body from that sickness. If I may say, you are imprisoned in that mind of thought. Oh, you need absolvement. You need freedom from that prison that you're living in. And that is only obedience to Christ. Oh, praise God. You know, as I told you earlier, so often we say, I can't forget what so-and-so said or did to me, or I will never forget how I was treated by such and such a person or in such and such a place. Isn't it something? Enemy is so accurate in trying to make you remember where you were treated badly, when you were treated badly, how long you were treated badly, to make the situation more and more intense. It is not helping you. It is only bringing you down spiritually. Oh, sometimes, you know, in this modern world we are living in, forgiving has taken some sort of not a leadership quality, or it is not a bold one. You have to be so going out, and you should be saying what you have in your mind, speak it out, all kinds of things. Isn't it? Nobody knows how much it will hurt a person. We have the divine word, people of God. This is the truth. This is the truth. As a matured children of God, we need to learn how to forget one another. Yes, there have been hurts. When you are being raised, your mother, your father might have treated you bad, might have said something wrong. All this. But you know, I want to tell you my own example. Andy knows most of it, but I'm not going to say everything here now. You know, when I was growing up, I had so many adverse situations while growing up. If I make a list of all those things, I can write a book on that. Which I will write, not about the bad things. But you know, I began to think this way. Let me not think the bad things that happened in my life. Let me think of those individuals who came to my life, who have helped to change my life, gave me a good education, looked after me, and I began to think in the direction. And I tell you what, that has done a great deal of good to my soul. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, we talk about the war, but there is a war right here. I don't know how many cells are fighting there. One another to keep you under balance. May God help us, people of God, to forget. Amen? Say an amen, please, everybody. Glory to God. Let this become real in our life. Oh, glory to God. You know, these things I said, I cannot forget the way I was treated by this person at this place so many years ago. These are nothing but negative comes from the pit of hell. These are dangerous to your soul. These are impediments in your progress, in your pilgrim walk. We should have that power from heaven to break down the barriers and say, I am not in it. I am not with the doubters. I am not with the negative thinkers. I am with the company of Caleb and Joshua. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, people of God. We may be a minority in the world's eye, but I want to tell you something. We have the deepest truth that will guide us and lead us into that calling that He has given to us. Oh, praise God. Brian, am I? Oh. Can I give one more point, then I can close? I'm not going to take too long. 5 more minutes? I'm sorry. I wanted. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray for each other, people of God. We need that, don't we? Sometimes we are like immature children. They know what to do, right thing, but they act so immature. God looks at us and says, don't you know what to do? You know, but yet why do you do so foolish things? Isn't it right, Quinn? Yes. Praise God. Young people, I have such a great respect for you. This is the time you give your life to God and stand for God. And God respects that. Hallelujah. Finally, we must learn to love. You know, when the prophecy came, I thought this is a confirmation of what I'm going to talk about. Love, agape, not dislove, not love of the husband and wife or brothers. This agape love, God's love. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when you're able to exercise God's love, you don't look at the magnanimity of the problem. You see the solutions through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We have a good chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about the love. I don't have to go back to it, but you know what? Still, I just want to read a couple of them about love. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. To exercise forgiveness, I tell you, you should have the gift of love in you. Because love is divine from God. Verse 4, 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4, love is patient. Remember I told you, wait before the second conversation. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered. If you're real love, so you can get angry, but you're not easily angered. You know, Jesus was also angry, right? And it is termed as a holy anger. So parents get angry at the children, and I would term, I always used to say to my son, this is a holy anger against you. For the right thing. This is not to take advantage, people of God. We do get angry, no doubt about it. We are human. We're not divine yet. We're trying to be to that close. Let your anger be subdued before the sun sets, within Ephesians. So anger is there, but love is able to kind of subdue the anger. Remember I told you, when you're angry at each other, do not look at the face of the other person. That's very ugly. Oh! My wife has said many times, do you know how you look now? Well, that really intensifies your anger, you know. People of God, I've been very frank, and I'm trying to say the truth to you. We all have the same problem, don't we? But let us be controlled by the Holy Spirit because of the love. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my children. So therefore, I forgive them. Jesus loved us. He forgave us. Oh, praise God. What a wonderful thing it would be when we have the divine love in us that we can see everyone in the same way.